Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, February 14th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Ousted ZANU-PF spokesman Rukare Kumbo says President Robert Mugabe has surrounded himself with what he calls useless people who never participated in the war of liberation.
We have 34 years during which we could be promoting ZANU's war veterans. We are talking of 2014. He reverses the whole thing altogether. He eliminates all the people who were involved in the war. There is no one except Perhaps Mnangagwa, who came towards the end of the war.
A Zimbabwean man who stayed outside the country for more than 16 years is back at home making big business.
When I started a new life in Zimbabwe, you know, I wasted a lot of money trying this and that, but at last, then I decided to venture in a bakery.
And today is Valentine's Day. Stay tuned. Ousted ZANU-PF spokesman Rukare Kumbo says President Robert Mugabe has surrounded himself with what he calls useless people who never participated in the war of liberation of the 1970s who are now tearing the party. Kumbo told Studio 7 in an interview that indications are that Mr. Mugabe, who has been in power since independence from British rule in 1980, fears war veterans. According to the veteran politician, it is a pity that President Mugabe is not realizing that all the people occupying top posts in the party have no traceable war history.
There has been a tendency in the ZANU-PF to completely marginalize war veterans. War veterans have not had an opportunity to rise. Like what is happening in other countries, Mozambique, South Africa, Namibia, even Angola. Most of the people who fought in the liberation struggle have been raised to Central Committee to Police Bureau level. In Mozambique, for instance, Nyusi, who is now the president of Mozambique, was a young kid during the war. He went to Frelimo schools, and then when he was sent outside to Russia to study. And now he is taken over. That's what is expected. That's what should have been the case here. But no, we don't do it. We prefer to invite the so-called doctorates and so on, philosophers who philosophize on nothing, who don't understand that Zimbabwe was brought by armed struggle. There are certain policies, principles, policies that need to be followed. And that's what we are talking about. That is what we want to work on right now. That we want to recapture the old values of the party, the founding values of the party, so that we improve and deepen democratic process in the party. We are doing it. It's going to come. As far as some of us are concerned, we think that the future is bright for our people.
Does this mean that maybe the president is afraid of war veterans? Do you think so?
Well, frankly, I don't know. But it will appear to be the case. Because he has 34 years. During which you could be promoting some of the war veterans. But even today, we are talking of 2014. He reverses the whole thing altogether. He eliminates all the people who were involved in the war veterans.
Who's left in the ZANU-PF top hierarchy? Who's a former freedom fighter? Is there anyone left now?
There's no one except Perhaps Mnangagwa, who had a stint there. But during our time in Zambia in the 1970s, he was not there. He came towards the end of the war. Jeremiah also came in 1978. There's nobody there whom we can talk about at the present moment. That is. And yet there are lots of war veterans who are wallowing in poverty and struggling on their own. They can't be promoted. And as far as we are concerned, if everything goes well, we want to promote these young people. We want these war veterans to rise in the party structure so that they can determine the future of the country because of their background, their experiences, and so on.
That was former ZANU-PF spokesman Rukare Kumbo speaking with Studio 7 from Kweru, Midlands Province. ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayat Moyo did not respond to calls on his mobile phone.
To all my Studio 7 supporters and listeners, this is Babashupi. When you were here, listen to me tomorrow. You're going to be listening to Babashupi to know about how I've been, where I've been, and everything that I do is Babashupi. Tune in and listen to Babashupi. tomorrow, don't miss that program because we will be firing, as always. Studio 7, your station, my station, our station. Boom.
A Zimbabwean man who stayed outside the country for more than 16 years is back at home making big business. Liverson Sunduza abandoned all the good life in various countries and went back to Cholocho in Matola North Province to open a lucrative bakery. Sunduza tells Studio 7 selling bread is now part of his life.
I stayed in Botswana for 10 years. Then from Botswana, I went to Namibia. I stayed in Namibia for 2 years. From Namibia, I went to Maputo. I stayed in Maputo for 3 years. From Maputo, I went to Blantyre. In Blantyre, I stayed only for a year and a half. That's when I came back home.
When did you go back home?
I came back home in 2010, end of 09. Well, it was not easy, Mr. Dube. When I came back from outside, when I started the new life in Zimbabwe, you know, I wasted a lot of money trying this and that. But at last, then I decided to venture in a bakery. But before that, you know, first I joined these people who take and sell. But someone defrauded me a lot of money. Then later I joined the mining, but because no, I was not good in mining. People were cheating me almost every day. Then I decided to leave this mining thing. That's when I decided to venture in a bakery. But in bakery, now it's like I'm doing very well.
So, did you have any money for starting your business?
The time I left Botswana, I had a good sum of money. But later, since I was doing this and that, I ended up without money. Then I decided, luckily, because before I went out of the country, I bought, I had cake, goat, donkey, so I bought a lot of these animals. The time I started the business, this bakery thing, even mining, I was selling my cake.
How was it when you came back home in terms of you transitioning to a new life? How difficult was it?
Mr. Dure, it was difficult. It was difficult because you know what is happening most of the time. When you come back home from out of the country, people know that you have got money. They try by all means to partner with you so that they get money from you. And also, this new life, you know, it's not easy because you are used to living just far away, but you are living nice. When you come back home, sometimes things are a bit difficult. But later, because what you're supposed to do is to make sure that I want to have experience in this life. Because if you are not, you know, if you are not brave, sometimes you might go back to the diaspora.
So do you think that somebody can leave the diaspora and come and settle in Zimbabwe and enjoy the life? Is that possible?
Yes. Opportunities, there are plenty. But what I can advise, Mr. Dube, when you come back to Zimbabwe, don't concentrate in big cities like Harare, Bulawayo. Or if you come from Cholocho, go back to Cholocho. There are many opportunities. You know, people are not doing anything. They don't have money. Some of them, they don't even know what to do. For you to stay out of the country for all these years, sometimes you may learn a lot of things whereby when you come back, trying to introduce those things, you make money. Really, I advise people to come back home and open businesses. There are plenty, and to get sense to make your business, it's not a problem when you approach these local authorities. It's not a problem.
In terms of running a bakery, can you say that really you are getting good money, or people don't have money to buy bread and other things? And what are you making, and where are you in Cholocho?
Well, you know, I'm operating in a new settlement where people were resettled. That's where I'm operating from. And people, you know, they are supporting me. They're even encouraging me to do more. They are saying, if you can open more things, yes, okay.
That was bakery owner Liverson Sunduza speaking with Studio 7 from Cholocho Communal Lands in Matola North Province.
Happy Valentine's, all our Studio 7 supporters. Don't forget to love someone today. What is that? Today. Love someone today. Studio 7, happy Valentine's. Dino and Barasupi, yours Barasupi. Boom.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies. On the internet, you can find us at www.voazimbabwe.com.
Thank you. Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum that highlights women's issues. My name is Sandra Nyaira. This evening, I'm standing in for Mavela Simhlanganya Wim. I was in Addis Ababa recently, where I had the opportunity to meet some of Africa's top women during a summit that discussed, among other issues, ways to empower African women. One of the women is Cynthia Samuel Olunjon. She's the chief of the Regional Program Unit for Africa with the International Labour Organization. I wanted to ask her how she got to the top and for her to share with Zimbabwean women how she managed to navigate the murky waters of working in male-dominated environments.
How did you start in your career, your personal story?
Thank you very much. My personal story, first, I had parents who believed in educating their children. As far as my parents were concerned, you were allowed to do whatever you felt you were interested in, and we got full support. So I had excellent support from my parents to educate me to the highest level that I was willing to go. And right from the outset, I knew I wanted to work in the field of industrial and labor relations. So, of course, my degree, my master's degree was in industrial and labor relations. And I worked with an institute that was responsible for training people in that sphere in my country, Nigeria. During that period, I had the opportunity of engaging with the UN, first with UNFPA and then with the ILO. The people who were responsible for making those decisions did not in any way look at the gender dimension. What they were interested in was competence, was the ability to deliver. So I was identified to come and now work full-time with the ILO. And I remember, and I say this because it was very, very important when I was having the interview, I asked them if there was a glass ceiling, because I wasn't ready to go into an organization that had a glass ceiling. I wanted to work with an organization that would take full advantage of competences, experiences, and the quality of work and reward those accordingly. And during the interview, I remember that the person, the head of the panel, told me that, see, you coming, there is no glass ceiling. Where you get to in the organization will be dependent on your ability and the opportunities that are available. And I must say that in the ILO, I have had the opportunity of rising through the ranks, as it were. At no time did my being a female stand as an obstacle.
But when you look at other women complaining about the glass ceiling, what is your word of advice to them?
I wouldn't say that the journey has been without its hurdles. For me, it's been very good. It's not the same for many other people. Like you said, in the fact that they talk about glass ceilings may not just be that they're talking about it, it's the reality for many. I have reached the level now where the highest level of the professional cadre. When you look at the statistics available, the percentage of women at the D and above levels in the UN is really lower than what you have. Now, what would I say to other women? One is, let us do the best that we're capable of doing. Let's challenge stereotypes. Let's not restrict ourselves to those domains that are seen as female. I remember when I was working with the private sector, in many of the meetings, I would be the only female. Though there were attempts sometimes to now talk about my gender, my sex, I made sure that I brought issues back to the principles, to the core. This is to my sisters. If and where there are issues that show that discrimination is on the basis not of the quality of work, but on the sex of the person, on the gender, then we need to be bold and to begin to challenge those things. Because sometimes we feel that, no, we don't want to rock the boat. You know, let's just go with the flow. No.
You have been listening to the Women's Forum. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington, D.C.
Thanks very much, Sandra Nyaira. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
And finally, Zimbabweans joined the rest of the world today in marking Valentine's Day. The day is known around the world as the Day of Love. But Valentine's Day is not just limited to romance. Many around the world are expressing their love and affection to families and friends as well. We have Valentine's messages from some Zimbabweans, including Coco Alice.
Valentine to Rosemary Chidaushe Isiokogo in Zimbabwe, honestly. And I say happy Valentine to Emily Maone Kesh. I say to them happy Valentine.
My name is Israel Marira. Happy Valentine's to Ivy Sariri, who's my wife, and Grace Marira, and my mother, Grace Mabutu in Zimbabwe. Thank you very much. I'm in South Africa, in Bloemfontein, in Motalelo. I just want to say to all of my friends, happy Valentine.
My name is Caroline Kamba. I would like to say happy Valentine's to Victor Kamba, my husband. I live in Zimbabwe. I bought Victor Kamba a pair of black shoes and African attire from Tanzania. I think he's going to love me. Since we call him Igwe, so you love it. I would like to say I love the Valentine's Day. Samantha Kamba, Ivy Kamba, Kuzai Kamba, Dennis Kamba, and my mom, Doreen Kuba, in Bali. Yeah, I hope you are doing everything today. I wish all the Zimbabweans a happy Valentine's Day.
I wish to say happy Valentine to my wife, children, mother, family members, and all Zimbabweans. Have a very lovely Valentine's Day. The music of Brenda Fassie Mabrie, the late queen of African music, dedicated to all Zimbabweans today on Valentine's Day. Now to recap today's top stories. Ousted ZANU-PF spokesman Rukari Kumbo says President Robert Mugabe surrounded himself with what he calls useless people who never participated in the war of liberation of the 1970s, who are now tearing the party. A Zimbabwean man who stayed outside the country for more than 16 years is back at home doing big business. And Zimbabweans joined the rest of the world today in marking Valentine's Day. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Kande. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.